May the Lord give us true worship this night, beginning with hymn number 1013. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne, but thou a seed of heavenly birth, to men there little known. Hymn 1013.
Turn to read in two places. Firstly, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18 from verse 21. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18 from verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We'll also read a portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, commencing at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord bless the readings of his word. May he help us now to pray. Lord God Almighty, we bow before thee now once again. We ask for thy gracious help, thy Spirit's influence and indicting, as we now call upon thee and take thy name upon our lips. Oh, we do pray for that real help from heaven this evening. We do pray that our worship may be true and in the Spirit, for thou dost desire such to worship thee. And to this end we do pray for thy gracious help, that we may have thee before our eyes. Thou hast granted to us that precious faith, and that we may, Lord, as we come to thy house, be found worshipping, seeking thee. We ask this evening for thy merciful help to each in the pew. Lord, thou seest the circumstances, thou knowest the varied paths of the friends as they gather here. We pray there may be a word in season. Lord, may there be those words fitly spoken, as apples of gold in pictures of silver. Thy word, O Lord, is pure, and we read, where the word of a king is, there is power. Lord, there is no power in the preacher. There's no power in the hearer, but power belongeth unto thee. Therefore we do pray, it may be thy will, to send forth thy word in power this evening. May go forth in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Those things sown in weakness may be raised in power, and thy word may be that which lives in us, and abides in us, springs up within us, and bears forth fruit in our lives. And Lord, we do pray for this, for there is nothing, Lord, that we can do ourselves. The work of grace is thine. We pray, Lord, where it is not begun, that thou begin. Where it is begun, thou wilt continue it. And Lord, thou strengthen it. And grant, Lord, it may be performed. We ask, Lord, this evening then that something may be done in thy holy name. We do pray that some soul may be affected by the truth. And we pray, Lord, for those who are maybe downcast, those who may be brought low, or may there be that lifting up. May there be that light which shines in darkness. Lord, may there be food for the weak, that strength for the weary. Oh, do break unto us, we pray thee, the bread of life. Do then come, Lord, we pray amongst us. We pray for the friends. We ask that thou remember this cause of truth. We pray that thou be amongst them as they gather week by week. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the preaching of the gospel here. Remember the church in their needs, we pray. Guide them rightly and be gracious to them. And we ask, Lord, not only for thy blessing here, but for thy blessing at our own cause and those round about this location, up and down our country, where thy name is honoured, where those twos or threes do gather in thy name. We pray that thou be in the midst of us. And Lord, we do pray, make us true disciples of thee, true followers of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, may it be, Lord, that there is then thy blessing on the preaching of the gospel in our day. Help us to cleave and hold fast to it. And Lord, we pray there may be a reviving of thy work in general. And we think of our own country. We do pray that there may be reviving of thy work, and the gospel may be preached. Send out preachers more, we pray. May those who have never heard the word hear it. May there be that hearing of faith. May the causes of truth be built up with praying, seeking souls. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt build up thy kingdom. And though we feel very much at times to be in the latter days, may there be yet thy work appearing. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, thy glory to their children. And Lord, be with us each, we pray, in our own path. Lord, we ask for grace. Those friends indeed who go forth into the workplace, be their help, provide their needs. Pray for families, be their help, mothers and fathers. Be gracious, Lord, and help in this our day in the care of little ones and children, young people. Be gracious to go before the young, we pray, and provide for them. And we would remember, O Lord, one newborn amongst them, we understand was brought to thy house this morning for the first time. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou shine upon her and bless her and her parents and family. Oh, Lord, we ask for the salvation of their souls, all these little ones. Thou hast said, suffer them to come unto me. Or may we then bring them unto thee in prayer and ask that thou bless them. Lord, have mercy on them. But Lord, whatever age we are, thy word says you must be born again. And Lord, thou hast said, except you become as little children, should no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Lord, we pray, Lord, whatever age we might be, that we may know that secret and know what it is to become little children spiritually, enter in to the kingdom by faith. And we, Lord, do pray that where we are out of the way, thou wilt correct us and bring us into the way, and work in us that precious faith, we pray. And Lord, we ask that we each may be prepared against the day of eternity, the day of our death. Do make it a true concern with us. And Lord, may we have that assurance this side of the grave that we are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we may have the witness of thy Spirit with our spirit that we are the children of God amongst that family that we've been singing of. And that we may see in our lives that the hand of our Redeemer and Saviour, and be fully persuaded that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, and keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. So, Lord, we pray, be mindful and work in our hearts, work in our midst. And, Lord, we ask that thy blessing may rest then upon the friends here, those in affliction we would remember. Lord, remember them where they are, those detained at home, Lord, and others away, we understand, to keep them safely where they are, bring them home in safety. Lord, we would pray that thou wilt, Lord, work in Zion, and Lord, pray that thou send forth preachers more, raise up pastors, grant them according to thy heart. This is thy gift, and we do, Lord, ask for it. We believe it is according to thy mind. And we do pray, Lord, it may be thy will to hear prayer in this matter. And Lord, we do ask then for also those healing to those of thy servants who are sick. And pray that there may be a lengthening of their days according to thy will. Also, some of their loved ones sick as well. Lord, to help and support, and where there is that affliction unto death, may, Lord, thy special help be known. So, Lord, we look to thee for thy mercies. We pray for that further help as we come together again this evening. We come, Lord, as sinners thou knowest. We can only come as such, and we pray that we may come as those penitent sinners. We ask that thou forgive us, wash us, cleanse us from our sins. And Lord, we come, as we come to thee, conscious of our many failings, many faults, yet pleading that glorious name, the name of Jesus. O hear us then, Lord, in our petitions this evening hour, we pray, as we ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant to us his help this evening. We'll turn to the chapter we read this morning in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12 and verses 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. This is a quote from the prophet Isaiah, as we may read in Isaiah 42, and speaks of the coming of the dear Lord Jesus and his work in the earth. Christ did become a servant, though a son, and a son from all eternity, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, yet a servant, as he came to fulfill all righteousness for his beloved people and to fulfill the counsel of grace as sent by the Father. And what is abundantly plain, really, in our text is that there is salvation in none other. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is his beloved in whom his soul is well pleased. And we read how the Father spoke this concerning Christ at his baptism, and again on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear his word. Hear the word of the gospel, for God has spoken in these last days unto us by his Son. And we have a more sure word of prophecy as a light shining in a dark place. And be sure of this. It is only in Jesus that God is well pleased. He is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And how indeed he is well pleased with the sacrifice of his dear Son. God is pleased with nothing in man. You see how, as the Lord sees men, God looks upon the earth. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Oh, but my beloved servant, my dear Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And dear friends, you see, if your hope is in Jesus, if your hope is completely in Jesus, you're trusting in him alone, then it can be said that the Father smiles on you because he sees you, though black, comely, in his own dear Son. And if you've known the smile of God in your soul, if you've known the kisses of his mouth which are most sweet, it is only through virtue of his own Son in whom he is well pleased. And you see, it is through him that we shall attain to glory. Friends, if we attain to that blessed place, how shall we shine? Not in our righteousness, but in the royal robes of his providing. Oh, we'll have to enter there with that, into that marriage feast with robes prepared, with a garment prepared by God, wrought out by the Son. And then, you see, we shall be pleasing in his sight. So this is my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. And he says, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus was clearly the anointed one, and it was witnessed by the many wonderful works that he performed. So that men marveled. They said, is this not the Christ? And oh, how indeed the anointed one went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. He was anointed above measure, without measure, of the blessed Spirit. He was full of grace and truth to attend to every need. He preached the gospel to the poor. And he declared the kingdom of God. And you see, this is what it is when it speaks here. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now really, in our text there is this truth. Only the gospel. Only the gospel saves, changes lives. You see, you look at that Gentile world. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning it in the Romans. You can read of it in the first chapter. The corruptions of the Gentile world. Oh, how filthy does the Apostle describe the Gentile world. The idolatries and fornications and murders and so forth. The wickedness of man being great. But you know the wonderful power of the gospel. That which was first proclaimed by Jesus himself and his forerunner John the Baptist. That precious gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the Apostle Paul made that very plain, that he desired to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He will show judgment to the Gentiles. He'll show them the way of life. He'll show them the way of deliverance. He'll save them from their sins, deliver them from their corruptions. Dear friends, you see, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, the law is good, it is just, and it is honourable. But it can never change us. And as much as it demands, we can never do. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, how he brought in an everlasting righteousness to show to the needy and the poor. Jesus really is the revelation of God's righteousness. He is God's righteousness. Friends, and all that believe on him are in God's sight righteous. They're justified by faith. But it has to be revealed, you see. He will show judgment to the Gentiles. He will reveal this. Yes, and as we were singing in the opening hymn this morning, oh, what God has revealed in gospel days. You see, the blessings that God has revealed in gospel days. Yes, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what he hath prepared for those that wait for him. Dark were the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. So much that although the truth was couched there, the truth of the gospel, it was as if seeing through a glass darkly. Perhaps we little realise this as we live in this New Testament day. But the truth is now, the true light now shineth. And it is revealed. Salvation is revealed in Christ. And yet, how we need this to be revealed spiritually to us personally. Oh, many wise have desired to see these things, not been able. Jesus says to those who see spiritually, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. And still by the power of his Spirit does he show and reveal the gospel to all his beloved people, that they shall all know him from the least to the greatest. Jesus will not be a stranger to you. Dear friends, if you are brought into the kingdom, they shall all know him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He gives unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is it a concern with you? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Well, a promise we have here, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Dear friends, we need him to reveal himself to us and to reveal the truth. He who is the way, the truth, and the life. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And as we read in the Isaiah 42, how they will wait for his law. You see the law of the Lamb, the law of the gospel. It's God's way of salvation. Now, as to his coming amongst us, he who is full of grace and truth, we have recorded here in the following verses the manner of his coming. And we believe it sets forth this truth. He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Not to condemn men, but to save them. You see, he shall not strive. He will not contend with them in the streets. There's something very notable in the life of Christ. He never railed on anyone. Neither did he ever condemn anyone. And we have it so plainly in the Gospels and John 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, one day, of course, he will come as the judge of all the earth. And he has that perfect right and authority to do so from his Holy Father. But you see, his coming, his first coming, in his humiliation was one of meekness. And he wore the face of a lamb. And we have here, you see, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. One who as a lamb went about doing good. And how he, you see, healed all that had need of healing. He attended to the weak and to the poor and to the needy. And he preached the gospel even to the rebellious and the hard-hearted. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. How true this word was. Yes, his disciples were not at all times in the same spirit as their master, were they? At one time, was it John and James? Oh, when they were not received in a certain city, said to the Lord Jesus, "Shall we call fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?" Jesus turned and said to them, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. Son of Man is come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Friends, you see how wonderfully Christ revealed his mercy, God's mercy. That is why he came, and that is in itself the Spirit of Christ. Oh, he came to save, he came to have compassion, he came to have mercy. So you see, dear friends, in all that he did, he dealt so graciously. And you see, the manner in which he dealt so graciously is set before us here in these words, "A bruised reed shall he not break." Now, as we come to this, we would remember those characters who really needed the gospel. And we think this picture of a bruised reed does describe those characters who have been bruised by the knowledge of their sinnership. Those who were truly poor, those who came to Jesus as such, convinced of their sinnership. And you see, it is certain that this is what the Lord will do with those who shall come to him as drawn by the Father. The Lord wounds and he heals, he kills and he makes alive. And this is the use, the one use we may say, of the law of God. That by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's the only way to use the law lawfully. It gives the knowledge of sin. You see, this is how the Lord Jesus used it in that case of the man that came to him and said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He then turned to the law. He read the law to the man. The man, still not convinced, said, "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said, "Come, sell all that thou hast, take up the cross and follow me." The man went away very sorrowful, had great possessions. Now, why was the Lord Jesus speaking to him concerning the law? It was, dear friends, that he might bring down his confidence in himself. And you see, there is a wound that God must give to us each. God must convince us. He must bruise our own righteousnesses. He must cast us into the ditch so that we abhor ourselves. And he there, you see, humbles us to realize our native sinnership, what we are in Adam and are by our actual transgressions, and so loathing ourselves, we have need of Jesus. And you see, dear friends, how the gospel is preached as such. And Christ has been sent to heal the broken-hearted. a bruised reed shall he not break. Now this is a wonderful truth, and if there be any here this evening who have come up to the house of God in such a way, feeling to be so sinful and out of the way, hear the words of our text, a bruised reed shall he not break. Your friends, he didn't break David, did he? You see, Nathan came and after his sin and he said, "Thou art the man." God used it as a gracious wound. And there he was, pouring out his heart, asking God to purge him and wash him clean. And he said, the sacrifice of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, he realized it, David, by faith, that God have compassion. Yes, and the truth, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. And you see, then, dear friends, what mercy is found in Christ for sinners. Those who are convinced of their sin, he doesn't condemn them. Something so evident, I say, as I've already spoken in the Gospels, and of course, we read in those passages something concerning this, the Lord's forgiveness. And just before I speak of this, of course, we think of that woman we read of in John 8. She was taken in adultery. And there were those who were ready to cast stones at her. And they brought her to Christ. And he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." They were convicted and they went out one by one. And then he turned and said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace." Friends, it's a notable thing as we read in the Gospel. Oh, Christ came not to condemn men, but to save them. A bruised reed shall he not break. And there was, as we read, you see that woman in the city, which was a sinner. No doubt a notorious one as well. Did the Lord condemn her? Did the Lord drive her away? For coming low at his feet, wiping them with her tears? No. The Lord never rebuked her. But you know, Simon the Pharisee was rebuked. Oh, the coldness, the hardness. Oh, how he despised Christ and that sinful woman. But you know, Christ spoke so kindly to the woman. Yes, and told her that her sins, which were many, were forgiven. Oh, a bruised reed shall he not break. And you see, there is a gospel principle here. Dear friends, where one is brought to be truly sorry for their sins, we ought to forgive them. We read of this in Matthew 18. Yes, if our brother trespass against us, we ought to forgive them, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Because you see, when you've been a bruised reed, God has forgiven you. And therefore he says to his people, do likewise. Yes, the one who comes asking for forgiveness. Forgive. Of course, in this picture of a bruised reed, we have one bowed down. That is what happens, isn't it, when there's a bruised reed? A kink there is in that reed, and it's bowed. And it's such a picture, isn't it, of one who's been brought low. Your friends, the Lord is very merciful. A bruised reed shall he not break. And in these words as well, we may consider the Lord's dear people buffeted by Satan. So often God's people may feel to be like bruised reeds because of the devil's malice and rage against them, telling them, yes, about what they are and what they have been, sowing evil thoughts in their minds. My dear friends, do you feel to be buffeted by him, squashed, oppressed? Well, I believe the Lord deals very kindly with his tempted people. And dear friends, we have a promise, don't we? Right from the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. And yet, of course, we're reminded there, he will bruise his heel. Yes, Satan will do his best to hinder, do his best to afflict Christ and his seed. And so the Lord Jesus, he feels for the pains of his people in temptation. Their affliction's his. He will bruise his heel. Oh, the serpent will do his best. But the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. God is stronger than Satan. I believe we can testify that in the midst of temptations, dear friends, he does not give us more than we can bear. A bruised reed shall he not break. One other thing you see to speak of in this word is those various sorrows and griefs, troubles, afflictions that may oppress the Lord's people. And we would think of God's kindness towards his church. He will not suffer thee to be afflicted or tempted above that you are able to bear. And, dear friends, the Lord will send that relief. The Lord will grant those helps so that you are not broken by those afflictions. Psalmist could say in Psalm 116, I was brought low, but the Lord helped me. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Now in this smoking flax, our mind goes to the gift of precious faith. Friends, the Lord is the author of precious faith. And you see, he works it in his people. And as we speak of this, we think of the gentleness of Christ in his care over the lambs of his fold. Sometimes when the Lord begins his work, it may be very small. Just a little. So much so that to the outward appearance there may seem to be nothing. Oh, we must be careful, judge not concerning this. The Lord knoweth those that are his. We may, as we sometimes say, kindly quench the same. We may, my friends, indeed. You see, the Lord's work is sovereign, and sometimes he begins in a small way. And he cares very much for his little ones. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, better than a millstone be hanged about his neck and he cast into the depth of the sea. Oh, may we not be found offending. May we not be found hindering one of the little ones that would enter into the kingdom. Friends, when there is a little spark of precious faith, seeking, praying, oh, let us see that we are helpers, not hinderers. For smoking flax he shall not quench. And you see, we have in the Gospels, we think particularly of that time he came to that woman of Samaria by the well. And we love to read through that account for how tenderly and kindly did he speak with that ignorant and sinful woman. And you see how he so gradually instructed her in the kingdom. It seemed as the conversation went on, the Lord was pleased to give precious faith. Faith came by hearing. The heart was opened. And so graciously then did he at last tell her that he was the Christ. Likewise, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. See, there was perhaps some fear of the Jews, some trembling, one of the Lord's hidden ones. Yes, if we got to, yes, in a wrong spirit ourselves, we may condemn Nicodemus. Why was he coming by night? But dear friends, he was coming, and Jesus didn't rebuke him. Rather, we believe what he spoke to him was an encouragement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You see, I think in those words he was giving encouragement to Nicodemus. Because the smoking flax he would not quench. So with the Lord's people, how he keeps a gradual pace in that work. And the work which he begins, he will perform to the day of Jesus Christ. It's the work of precious faith. That faith which works by love. And that is a necessary point. Faith works by love. That's how Christ works. You see, if we have the work of grace, God does not drive us by fear, but he draws us by love. That's the way he teaches us. And, dear friends, he cares for his dear sheep, doesn't he? And you see how he sends the gospel ministry. You read Ephesians 4. How the Lord has given his church those pastors and teachers and so forth for the edifying of the body of Christ, that they may all come in the unity of the faith unto that stature of a perfect man, a complete man. And you see, the Lord cares for his people to so strengthen them in the gospel. And those things that are lacking, he supplies. We sometimes need rebukes. we certainly need comfort and instruction in righteousness. Yes, as the apostle, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and adding unto our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so you see, there is a growing, isn't there, with God's people. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Dear friends, can you see how the Lord has dealt so kindly, patiently, graciously with you? One time the Lord said to his disciples, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." No. Perhaps at that time they were those who should be, were as those to be fed with milk. But of course the Lord knew they could not bear the stronger meat at that time. And I think this bears on our text. Smoking flax shall he not quench. So from the beginning of the way, how the Lord works graciously and tenderly with each of his dear people. Dear friends, how opposite is the work of Satan, of course. You may realise the work of Satan by the complete opposite. Oh, the hatred, the malice. How he would do his best to put out the sacred flame. But a smoking flax shall he not quench. And then, of course, we do consider how there is, in the way to heaven, the trial of faith. Our faith being more precious. The trial of faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Different trials. Varied trials of varied lengths will come. The fire will try every man's work. But as I have spoken, I believe it was here this morning, regarding Peter. Oh, how the Lord so spoke to him that his faith fail not. I have prayed for thee. That thy faith fail not. And how then God's dear people, though at times brought low, that faith is just like a smoking flax. You can hardly believe any more. Jesus will strengthen it. Support it. And do you prove, dear friends, from time to time, there is a word in season, that the Lord gives you precious faith to believe on his name, in his word. And so then there's a lifting up again. And you find that your faith stands in the power of God. If our faith is just a natural faith, then of course we may think that we can produce it ourselves. But if it's God-given, we'll realise we need God to give it. It's a faith that stands in the power of God. Of course we think of that little allegory in the Pilgrim's Progress of the fire burning and the devil seeking to pour water upon it. Just like the work of grace, that fire, like the work of grace. But behind the wall, there was a man pouring in oil. The fire was kept alive. And it was then the Son of God himself, and Dear friends, if we get to glory, we'll have to own it, won't we? It's all of grace. It's not our power. It's God's power. And by grace are ye saved. Oh, then, this is a sweet promise. The smoking flax shall he not quench. And we think of that light that does shine and has first shined into our hearts. Dear friends, as the light of the gospel shone into your heart, that light which shineth out of darkness, the light of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You see, Jesus really is the light of your faith. He is the sum and substance of your faith. But it may seem that you come into the experience we read of in Isaiah. You walk in darkness and have no light. Everything becomes dim. You're passing through a valley. Everything seems dark now. Those disciples were in that state on that lake. We read of them, it was now dark and Jesus had not come. Where was he who was the light of the world, the King of grace? Dear friends, you see, where Jesus hides his face, then faith begins to droop. But he will not be silent forever. Dear friends, he will shine forth again. The Lord Jesus will arise as that Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, that the smoking flax shall he not quench. And you see how the Lord does send those helps and send those encouragements. And we are to acknowledge this. Dear friends, perhaps when we come at times to the end of everything, yet the Lord Jesus is there. And how he so supplies, grants that help, grants those encouragements, so that the bruised reed shall not break, the smoking flax shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. I believe this speaks really of the fulfillment of Christ's work. The Lord to perform it for us. The Lord to complete the work for us. Of course, he has completed the work of redemption. Of course, he has laid down his life. He cried those blessed words on the cross, it is finished. He rose from the dead and went to glory. But you see, this text, I believe, refers to how he will save all his elect and gather them safe to glory. Complete that building, crying grace, grace unto it. You see, and through the centuries of time, the Lord has been adding unto his church. And in every individual member, how he has been beginning by his Spirit that work of grace and completing it. Oh, he shall complete his house. Now, how is this with us? Dear friends, it speaks of how he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will not leave his work half done. He will finish it completely. And you see, when the work of grace is done, then our appointed time will be to go to be with him in glory. When the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Yes, there will be that work performed, and a time will come when we will be as that shock of corn fully ripe. And as soon as it is, then the harvest has come and will be gathered. What a mercy to be gathered. What a mercy if we are gathered safely into his barn. Dear friends, safely there, then it will be victory. We cannot say victory now. There are times, yes, and seasons. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does, by faith, give us the victory oftentimes over sin and Satan in this lower world. You see, then, in glory, and only then, can we say complete victory. No more devil, no more sin, no more world, no more old man, the victory. Cast our crowns before him, those victor's crowns. Crown him, Lord of all. Well, this he will do in his people. He will send forth judgment unto victory. The precious gospel that we've spoken of already, you see, to show judgment unto the Gentiles. This precious gospel which works in the hearts of sinners, he'll complete it. He'll fulfill their hope. He'll crown them. He'll crown that work. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. This really brings back our thoughts from this morning's sermon. Dear friends, the blessing, the blessedness of being brought to trust in him. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. And we just would speak a few words regarding his name. It is a blessed thing to be a believer in the name of the Lord Jesus. And to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus is a trust in his name. And in trusting in his name, of course, we're confiding in all that he is and in all that he has done as our only hope of heaven. There is a necessary word that we often say in our prayers. We say, for Jesus' sake, or through his name. And, dear friends, in this we remember how he alone is that mediator between God and men. And the only Saviour and the only one through whom we shall be accepted of the Father, for Jesus' sake. Really, the whole of the covenant of grace relies on this truth, for Christ's sake. He has not done anything, dear friends, for our sake, but for his own name's sake. Indeed, we read of how the Lord did this for Israel of old, his national people. He said he had not delivered them, not saved them, not dealt with them for their own sakes, but for his name's sake. And in saying concerning this, his name, we would consider The union of God's people to Christ. Dear friends, it is only through virtue of our union to Christ that we will be heard in heaven and that we shall be those who inherit glory, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, in his name, that blessed name of Jesus, we shall get to glory. So is this our profession now? All who rightly profess the truth profess his name. They profess the honour of his name. They know the sweetness of his name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So have we come to trust in his name? In his name shall the Gentiles trust. Friends, is Christ and his work and his name our only plea? Well, if it is, dear friends, we would have known the experience of the bruised reeds and the smoking flax. Yes, we'd have been brought to that point that there is no help in self. And in this, being brought to trust in Jesus alone. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Tuesday evening instead of Mr. Hadley, who cannot come. And there will be a short meeting for the members afterwards. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham will, God willing, preach to us. Our closing hymn is 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I'm all. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.